Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.
You deserve more than feeling constantly fried to a crisp. Welcome to Fried, the Burnout Podcast, where you get the understanding, the community, and the information you need to end burnout for good. I'm your host, Kate Donovan, and all of my work focuses on hashtag ending burnout culture. Outside the pod, you'll find me on stages at conferences giving keynotes, in offices providing corporate trainings, doing virtual VIP one-on-one work, or supporting our group program, Unfried, that is run by my right-hand woman, Sarah Vosen. Both Sarah and I have been through burnout and came out stronger, happier, and more fulfilled, and we want that post-burnout growth for you, too.
Fried fam, Sarah and I get to hang out together today, which is always more super fun for us, which means it's probably more super fun for you, too. At least that's what we're hoping. A couple of weeks ago, or by the time this comes out, maybe a couple of months ago, Sarah and I did a live on in the Facebook group about reasons that your burnout recovery isn't working. And we hadn't planned it ahead of time. We were shooting from the hip. We were just playing around doing what we do. Then I wrote it into a LinkedIn article. And then I said, we stopped and we were like, maybe we should actually really think this through and create a more structured sort of idea around this. So today, Sarah and I are here, me and my burnout fighting co-pilot are here to talk about the reasons why your burnout recovery might feel stuck, why you might feel like you're not making progress, why things might not be working. Before we get into them, please know none of these reasons are judgments. They're just things that we see happening. And if you recognize one of them, you might be able to take that boulder out of your way and start making some progress that feels easier for you, that feels more doable for you, and that actually starts having an impact so that you continue to do it because you can like celebrate the small wins that you're getting along the way.
Absolutely. These are often unconscious things we're doing. So yeah, no judgment. It's just meant to help you find some awareness around what's driving you that you may not have awareness around yet. And once you do, you can make changes that serve you, that change this pattern, change your behavior.
Exactly. So the number one thing that I see some of you doing in the Facebook group and almost all of my clients doing, especially in the beginning, is that you are trying to do your burnout recovery so well that you're doing too much. You're overdoing your burnout recovery, which is the same pattern of work that got you into burnout.
Right. It's like you're using all of your burnout culture habits to try to recover from burnout, and it's not the right energy.
It's got that burnout energy.
Do we need to write songs now too?
Yeah. I wrote one a while ago. A short one. I made an Instagram video out of it. I thought I was a laugh riot. People did not love it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And we have a jingle from Vanessa. So that's
Vanessa. Thanks, yeah. Vanessa.
Yeah, exactly. So doing too much for your burnout recovery is counterproductive to your burnout recovery. This alone, just this one thing, learning this lesson is burnout recovery. Because as soon as you understand that you can't approach things the same way, you start to unwind how you approached it in the past and start to take new actions. I love the way that Sarah says this. What Sarah calls this is trying to recover from burnout using the same operating system that got you into burnout. I love that idea.
Yeah. Einstein said something like, you can't solve a problem with the same kind of thinking that got you into it. This is what we're talking about.
Yes, exactly. So if you are relying on your old coping mechanisms to get you out of burnout, please understand that you're probably going to have to do some things and try to move through this in a way that feels too slow, not impactful enough, not optimal, not perfect, and that is the challenge and the recovery and the pathway all at once.
Yep. So we're like 4 weeks into the newest round of Unfried, right? And so I did a little check-in. I said, how's the pace? Oh, hi, I'm doing thumbs up. They were like, you know, the pace is probably just right. I just want it all now. Like, I want it all on day one. I want all the information. I want to be able to implement. I want to just boom. And they're like, and at the same time, you know, we're doing teeny tiny bits of homework at the end of each session for the next week. And they can barely do it just because, you know, it's implementing change when you are burnt out, which requires slow and steady, intentional bits of change, right? It's so they were like, I guess it's right. And I just have to surrender and have patience that this is a process, right?
Yeah. I'm annoyed that it's right, but it's right.
Right. Right. Yeah. I get it.
So we're going to bounce down to reason number two, that your burnout recovery might not be getting you where you want it to, is that, and I have said this so many times, I can't stop saying this. And I feel like the interwebs are not hearing me. So I want you to soak this up. Stress management tools are burnout prevention tools, and they're useful when you are not already burnt out. When you are already burnt out, you will be implementing stress management tools when you are about 50% of the way out of burnout. The beginning is recovery. It is a different set of tools. It is a different set of needs. You are not in a place where addressing the big stressors is the first thing that you're supposed to be doing. Adding exercise to your routine and all sorts of like things that you're seeing online are supposed to reduce your stress is probably not helping you as much as you think that it should.
Right. You have to be more in like the recovery mode is a healing process. There's a lot of repair that needs to occur to your body, mind, and spirit in the very beginning. And you have to basically convalesce. That's a tough one. To go from running on adrenaline to convalescing.
Yeah. So it's going to feel like shit and it's going to be awkward and you're not going to like it. And you might not be able to do it at first. We have suggestions for that. When you are overly anxious and you can't rest, we want you to do shaking and dancing or go for a walk. Like there's other... Right. Yeah, exactly. But not for like a sprint or like a marathon. There are other ways. We have ways around these things. But what you need to understand is that the burnout recovery things like gratitude journals and things like that, it's like it's just not time for that right now. So if you have been trying to do a bunch of things that you're like seeing on Instagram and TikTok and you're not getting where you want to go, it's because most people that work with burnout do not understand this basic principle that is absolutely critical to your ability to recover. You want to take number three?
Number three. If you are doing your burnout recovery for other people, it's likely not working for you. We need to recover for ourselves. We need to want it for us. Even if ultimately we want to do it in order to continue helping others, right? Because a lot of people that we work with, especially, are helpers, healers, people who want to be of service that forgot to take care of themselves on the way, right? And so now they're fried. But we need to put ourselves back in the equation of our own life. We need to give ourselves permission to be as important as the people we're serving and know that we all get to have what we need to recover and then to hopefully sustain being a helper and a healer and a person of service moving forward.
I think that this is another thing that I love that you say, putting yourself into the equation of your life. Every time you say that, it's like one of the things that we see online all the time is people saying, like, you have to prioritize yourself and you have to put yourself first all the time. And you're not saying that. And people that are trying to recover from burnout often will try to do this, but it's so scary and so guilt-ridden and so difficult that it doesn't stick because they don't know how to do it because it feels terrible.
It's too big of a jump.
Yeah.
Too big of a jump. You go from not having yourself in the equation of your life to trying to be number one in your life. It's too much change at one time. There's too much guilt involved in that. There's too much fear of disappointing all those people you've been trying to help for all those years. You're worried they're all going to turn on you. And so there's all this negative reinforcement in your mind about giving yourself what you need. So just maybe considering yourself a part of your life is maybe a small enough step, but even that is easier said than done for most people.
It's a whole new habit. It's a whole new brain. It's a whole new brain pathway that you need to carve out over time. One of the things that we ask people to do here pretty frequently is practice disappointing other people in small ways. So as an example, and I've been telling this story a lot lately, my husband and I were getting ready to go for a hike recently. I'm saying my husband for all of you out there. Sarah knows my husband's name. When we were getting ready to go for a hike, we were completely dressed, shoes on, like jackets on, hats on, ready to go out the door. The door was open. He was putting the dog in the car. And I stopped and I was like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. Now, pee when you have to pee is the mantra around here. And I still have to listen to it. But 5 years ago, I would have not gone to the bathroom because I didn't want to make him wait for 60 seconds. So then I would have gone on that hike. We would have been hiking for two and a half hours. The whole time I would have been annoyed because I actually have to pee and there's nowhere to pee because we're in the middle of nowhere. And then I would have, he would have taken a wrong left turn because my husband always takes a wrong left turn because that's the way hikes go in this household. Then when he made a wrong left turn, I would have been absolutely furious because now I've had to pee for 2 hours and you took me 2 miles away from two extra miles away from the car instead of getting me back towards where I want to be. All because I didn't want to risk, quote unquote, bothering you or disappointing you by saying, hey, I'm going to run to the bathroom before we leave. I chose what I thought was your comfort because I didn't want to bother you. But then I get on the hike and I'm making you uncomfortable the whole time because I'm uncomfortable and now I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
So practicing those moments where you can ask somebody for something small, where you can disappoint somebody in a small way, and starting to prove to yourself that you can do that regularly and you're still going to be loved and accepted and supported and.
Here's a big one that I see, and I even people who aren't burnt out, like my acupuncture patients, eating lunch during your work hour, actually taking time away from work. Okay. Raise your hand if you eat lunch at your desk while you're working. So many people do because they don't feel like they can step away and not answer that email. I was like, listen, the government is not always on our side, right? It doesn't always feel like it, but they have rules. You have to, like, you get to take a lunch. You get to take breaks every 15 minutes if you work a certain shift. Take those breaks. They are like government mandated and you're ignoring that. Give that gift back to yourself. Take a lunch. Who's going to be disappointed that you took a lunch? If they are, you might be in a toxic job, which is our next one, number four. If people are getting mad at you because you're taking a break to pee, a break to eat lunch, going to an appointment every now and again, this is a sign you are not in a healthy workplace relationship.
So reason number four that your burnout might not be progressing as you desire is because you have not removed yourself from a toxic job or relationship or home, family situation, whatever it happens to be. There is I'm here for personal responsibility, and I don't need like victimhood in the world, you know, like, but sometimes we are victims of scenarios. And the only reason to get out of that victimhood and to get out of that being the victim is to get out of the scenario sometimes. But there is this weird culture of personal development and self-growth that tells you that if you manage your own emotions enough, that nothing that's happening around you should bother you, which is like total and utter bullshit.
Yep. I fell prey to this through almost all of my romantic relationships since I started at age 15 and got out of the last one a year and a half ago. I was trying to change myself to make the relationships, multiple relationships work over and over and over again, not realizing that I was abandoning myself by choosing the relationship over and over. And my burnout recovery took a leap in the right direction when I finally said, no, this isn't working for me. And I gave myself permission to leave. Wow.
Yeah. You cannot fix yourself enough to be able to withstand a toxic environment. That would be like thinking, because emotions are not something that we look at, you know, like they're just this weird, like fleeting thing. It's not like they come up on a blood test, right? So we don't have these really obvious ways of noticing it. But if you stood in a toxic wasteland, like a physical toxic, there's like toxic waste and fumes all around you, and you just stood there for a year, you're probably going to get sick, right? Like we all get that. That's why it's called toxic. And we understand that because then we take tests and we say, oh my gosh, there's a tumor. Oh my gosh, I have this strange blood disorder. Oh my gosh, my brain is falling apart. Like there's these really obvious things that say this outside toxic substance created a failing in my health. Newsflash, that shit happens on an emotional level too.
Right, but here's the thing about it. The insidious thing about this is that most people don't realize they're in a toxic relationship, or whether that's job, home, et cetera. And oftentimes for people, it's all of those things, because if you grew up in an environment that wasn't safe for you and chaotic or neglectful or whatever, you tend to make choices unconsciously that keep you in unsafe, kind of toxic, like environments that aren't healthy for you your whole life. And so, and you don't really even notice it until you can't get out of bed, or right, you're so anxious, you have a panic attack. You don't know it. And you think that it's just the current environment that you're in that's tipping you over the edge, but it's your whole life that's been leading up to this moment. And right, like a fish doesn't know it's in water until you take it out of water. And so like for me in this situation of the relationship, I have felt so much better being single this last year and a half than I have my whole life. Cause I didn't know. I was going from one like toxic romantic relationship to the next.
Some of us knew.
Well, I know you knew, but I didn't know. I wasn't out of it. I was never out of it enough to recognize there was some other way. And I didn't know that this like voice that I was hearing that was just like so detrimental was just that it could change. I didn't know it could change until I was out of it long enough to go, oh, I don't have that voice anymore. And wow, what a relief.
Yeah. So you don't have to allow this like spiritual bypassing phenomenon and toxic positivity, like convince you that if you just control your own emotions and pretend like other people don't affect you, you'll be fine. Like you won't. You're human. Other people and things and scenarios affect you. If you are being bullied and you're being gaslit, if you're being neglected and ignored, if you're being pushed around, if you're all of those things are toxic, no matter what situation they're tied to. Within this same number four, we didn't say this ahead of time, but it's coming to me now, is that your burnout also might not be progressing if you only blamed a toxic environment. You got out of that environment, but you didn't check any of your own patterns that you were taking with you. So I have a lot of people saying, you know, I had three jobs before I realized that I must be part of this equation. right? Like you can leave a toxic environment and it will do wonders for you, but there's still things that you're going to have to work through.
Oh yeah. I've done a lot of healing work around my attachment style and, you know, right. my inner child wounds. And that has been extremely helpful. It's a part of this.
Yeah. It's a part of it. It's just a part. Yeah. So number five, folks, you are likely a perfectionist and a high achiever of some sort, because like, welcome to the club. It's like kind of part of why we're here. So you are underestimating how powerful making small changes to your environment really are. I have said on this podcast for 5 GD years that getting yourself a new mug and replacing your pans that stick too much and making sure you have the blanket that you love on your couch. And I've said those things so many times. And some of you still are drinking coffee out of a mug in the morning that you hate. If you don't throw that mug out today, I'm going to come get you. Like, I'm officially annoyed. Like, get rid of the mugs you hate. Buy one real good one that you love. And if you buy a real good one that you thought you loved and you splurged on it and it was $12.99 and you were like, this is an expensive mug, but I'm just going to go for it. And you find out you don't like it, get another one. Keep trying until you find the one that you like. These small environmental changes, you might not think they matter that much, but they are critical.
Right, because they leave you like a dog spinning in circles to trying to find a place to lay down, but you're never actually comfortable enough to lay down. How do you recover from burnout? You got to lay down. You got to be able to rest. You got to feel settled. And actually, when you sleep, restore, because you're like, ah. But if every little thing is like,
So go look around your house. That like one socket that the plate fell off of 3 years ago, fill it. Go buy a socket. Order it on Amazon. It's $1.99, not $199, $1.99. It's nothing 99, right? If there's like, this is your sign. I've said this quite a few times too. If you have a bag for Goodwill in your trunk for the past 6 months, like today is the day you bring it and get it out of your system. If your desk is like super cluttered and it's been making you crazy, I'm not telling you need to clean your whole desk today. Cleaning your whole desk is a very big job. But like, maybe go through one of your dooms piles.
Because what I find is that whatever external environment you're kind of allowing to be, most likely it matches your internal environment.
She just said that.
Sorry, guys. But if you can make one small change, sometimes it's easier to make the internal change, right? And then it produces external change, right? But sometimes you need to change something outside of yourself. And then all of a sudden you feel different internally, right? You got to kind of figure out which is the better way for you, right? If you're more drawn to therapy and processing your emotions, and then like you naturally just start to want to organize your closet or like organize your desk, so be it. What a great side effect. But if emotions are really tough for you, you might want to start changing some things in your outside environment and see what happens on your insides.
Yeah. One of my clients a long time ago, we were talking about her room and she was like, yeah, I don't have anything on the wall, like nothing on the walls. Like I'm not doing anything. Like, and I said, well, do you have art that you like? She said, yeah, I bought 3 pieces from an artist that I love like 5 years ago and I haven't hung them up because the paint color is not like right. I said, okay, this is a huge project and I know you're burnt out. So if you need help or you need to hire somebody or you need, that's fine. But I need you to paint that fucking wall and get those paintings up. Like, don't even call me again until that's done. Like that, like, don't even book another call. Get that done. She said she did it that weekend and slept peacefully for the first time in like 2 years.
Oh man, beautiful.
Sometimes you just got to make those changes. And that was a big environmental change, but they don't all have to be that big. Maybe you need a plant on your desk. Cool. Go get one. You love succulents? Fine. Make it a succulent.
Yeah.
Great. All right. You want to take number 6?
Sure. Ugh. This one's ugh. We know it. You used to say it at the beginning of the podcast, every podcast episode, right? Like self-shame, blame, and judgment will halt your recovery. It just does. It makes us feel heavy and yucky and stuck and kind of keeps that downward spiral going. It's in the way. And it again, these are all like easier said than done kinds of things. How do you let that stuff go? How do you shift it?
Well, we have the episode with Andrea Owen on shame resilience. Yes, literally tells you actually step by step how to do it. So you don't have to figure it out. Guess what? You don't have to figure it out. We did it for you. Type in Andrea Owen. In Andrea Owen on Fried on Spotify or on Apple or on the website, and you will find it.
Yeah. There are steps. There are actual steps. And for me, actually feeling them was really useful rather than suppressing them. Mm-hmm. And when I felt them, to not add extra judgment for the fact that I have them happening in the first place. So there, you know, all those layers. And it took me 5 years of feeling my feelings and trying not to judge them for me to find some sort of emotional equilibrium. 5 years. I cried a lot for 5 years until that volcano of emotion kind of stopped needing to erupt. That's a long time. But you know what? I feel so much better.
Yeah. That shame is something that I still have to address on a regular basis. That is my go-to space. Everything I do, like I am the person that goes to a meeting and then leaves the meeting and overviews everything I said and reasons that everyone should hate me in the meeting and why I'm not liked and why I said the wrong thing. I did the wrong thing. They're not going to like me anymore. I should call and apologize. This is my internal world still today. So this is work that I have to be doing on a regular basis. Today.
I'm not saying that I never feel shame, blame, or judge myself. It's just not constant. And now when it happens, because I'm caught up with myself emotionally, I can actually recognize it because it feels different. Cause it's like, oh, I haven't felt this in a while. So what is it? How, you know, I let myself feel it. I check in with it. I process it if I can, and then I move forward.
And unfortunately, one of the things that makes this worse for me, because these things are tied to anxiety for me, it's a thing that I love. Coffee.
Ugh. Yeah.
I love a coffee. But if I have more than one coffee in a day, I am at some point probably going to have a spiral about how much all of you hate me. Probably. It's going to happen. And that will be the day that somebody leaves a comment about something that they didn't like. And then I'll go down like a whole tube.
Caffeine is a hell of a drug. That's for sure.
Hell of a drug. Number 7, we have talked about this one from the very beginning of the podcast. You cannot think your way out of burnout. There is almost always the need for some sort of physical and physiological support for your actual physical human form. This is not just a mindset thing. This is not just your emotions. Physically, your body probably needs help. It might be supplements. It might be acupuncture. It might be massage. It might be Reiki or Qigong or walking in the forest or hugging trees or laying on a couch. I don't know what the thing is, but probably there's going to be some point within this process that you are going to need some sort of support. And at one point in an episode, it was one of my first Straight from Kate episodes. So this must have been like 2020. We talked about other care. Sometimes you have to outsource some of this and not just coaching and therapy, like the physical care of your body has to be outsourced to someone. I have been working a lot this past year. I'm back in acupuncture every week. Because I need, and I go on Fridays as often as I can, not every week, sometimes on Fridays, I'm not available, but I go on Fridays because at the end of my week, I want someone else to pour into me before I go for my weekend. And I used to work Friday nights as an acupuncturist, and I could never understand why people wanted to spend 7 p.m. on a Friday in my office until now. And I'm like, that's a fabulous time to get acupuncture. Then you like clear out your week. You have somebody adding to you, and then you go into your weekend not carrying all of this shit with you.
you get filled up and or have the reset button on your stress system reset. Yeah, it's good stuff. Like we said, you have to recover and sort of convalesce and heal at the beginning of your burnout recovery. And this is what we're talking about. Like for me, I was doing functional medicine. I changed my diet. This was during the pandemic, so I wasn't getting treatments because that wasn't really available. And I was still trying to think my way out of depression. And I couldn't do it. And I was like, something's wrong. Like I've always been able to like change my own mind kind of by focusing on things or, you know, doing affirmations or whatever. I couldn't do it. And then I asked my functional medicine doctor and she gave me some serotonin support supplements. And overnight, my mood changed. And I'm not saying that's what's right for you, but I needed that literal physical, like substance to change my physiology in order to change my mind. It was like a miracle. It was amazing. So please don't deny yourself that physiological body-based support.
Absolutely. You want to take number 8?
Loneliness. If you're feeling alone in your burnout,
which you probably are because that's one of the symptoms.
Especially in the beginning, right? If you're like, oh my God, no one understands me. Everyone else is fine. You're scrolling social media. You're like, look at everybody living their best life. Please find a person, a community. I'm glad you're here. You're listening. We are a community who understands what you're going through. We created the Facebook community for this reason, for additional community support. If you don't have someone in your life that can do it, please lean on our Facebook group and our community so that you don't feel alone in this awful experience that you're going through right now. We get it. Loneliness, studies has been done. Loneliness increases your risk of mortality by 40%. Could not believe that statistic when I heard it. They're saying loneliness is now considered more detrimental than smoking.
And what's interesting is in the latest burnout studies, burnout leads to feelings of more loneliness, but more loneliness doesn't necessarily lead to burnout.
Mm.
Which is interesting, right? But it's not going to help you recover from burnout either. You do need to feel seen and heard and validated and valued and understood. That those are just basic human needs. You are not a robot. You need this just as much as the rest of us.
Yeah, you need compassionate relationships in your life and with yourself.
Or at least one. Right. Yeah, the studies about like having companionship at work is the results of those studies tell us really clearly that you need to have one good friend at work, somebody that you actually consider a friend. At work to combat loneliness and feeling disconnected, et cetera. One person.
Yeah, one person to vent to that gets it. Oh my, how useful is that, right? Because you come home to your partner or a friend and they don't know Jane and Bob who are annoying the shit out of you. They don't know them. But the person that knows them that you, you know, share the office with, that venting feels so much better. Right?
And just being and just giving yourself that space to be seen and valued and understood. It's one of the things that helps blast through shame also. Right. So on multiple levels, we need that space.
But that's also why we created Unfried to be a group recovery program so that there's more people than just me. I mean, one-on-one coaching works too. It really, truly does. Right. Because being seen and heard by your coach is very valuable. And I'm noticing such a benefit. People are experiencing such a benefit when what I'm saying is also backed up by the others they're going through the group with.
Exactly.
Like exponential.
Exactly. And speaking of the group, just so you guys know, we are shifting the way we are doing things. There is a nonstop wait list going. And every time that wait list gets to about 10 or 15 people, we're going to start emailing everyone and start a new group. So we are not starting groups at specific times. We are letting you choose our start time. So if you want to be in a group recovery program, head to the Unfried page on my website. It's katedonovan.com/unfried. Or if you go to friedtheburnoutpodcast.com, it'll be up at the in the top menu. You can click through to it as well. If you fill out the wait list and we keep getting wait list applicants, then we will just start a new group. Or, well, not we. Sarah will start a new group.
Yeah. I will do it. I'll be emailing you.
Exactly. All right. Number nine. This is something that Sarah added to the list that I was just talking to a client about yesterday. So it was funny for me to see it today when we started talking about what we were going to do. You are stuck and you believe that nothing in your life can change. You listen to Fried episodes and you think that shift doesn't apply to me because it's not possible for me. You can't understand or even picture or imagine what is possible for you outside of what exists right now. And you can't imagine that it could be better than what you have right now. You don't trust that it could be better than what you have right now. But I actually don't know anyone that's come through burnout recovery who doesn't enjoy their life more now than they did before burnout. But they couldn't have pictured that beforehand. This is one of the reasons I truly believe that you have to have either a coach, a therapist, a group coaching program, something, because that perspective and those possibilities are just not available to your brain right now.
They're not. I mean, right? Physiologically, we have blinders on. Our vision literally narrows. We can only see what's in front of us. And often we can't even see what's actually in front of us. We're only seeing like the doom and anxiety that our brain's forecasting for us inside these blinders, right? But recovery requires taking off the blinders or having someone support you that doesn't have blinders on who is like, oh no, there's a world of possibility for you. Let me offer you an exit pathway from this life with blinders on to one that actually works for you.
So if you are one of the people that find yourself listening to episodes and saying, oh, that thing, that's not for, like, you know, that won't work for me because I don't have that much money, that much support, that much whatever. My job doesn't do that. That's my career. I have no other job possibilities. My career can't be shifted. If you're saying all of those things as you listen, here's my challenge to you. For every episode that you listen to, I would love for you to find at least one thing, one idea that resonates, or one action step, something that hits you in a way that allows you to choose to maybe try out to see if maybe there's something different. I'm not asking you to believe without proof. I'm asking you to at least try to prove it. At least give it a whirl. One of the episodes with a former client of mine, I don't know, I think it'll be released after this. We just recorded recently. I had her doing research during her recovery and I said, well, I need you to find people in your career that are doing it differently than you're doing it. And she was like, well, they don't exist. And I was like, well, bish, do the research. And she was like, fine. So she started doing it and it took a minute to find it. And then once she did, her entire world changed. She now does the same job title in a completely different way that in her brain did not exist a year ago. Yeah. Meanwhile, it did exist. It was out there. She didn't have to create it. And now that she didn't know. And now that she is in that different world, she's taking a leadership role in that world because she wants to promote it so that other people can be part of it. And she has the energy to do that because she chose to go through burnout recovery.
I love it. I'm going to throw something out here
yeah.
for you. We haven't discussed it, ooh. But something's come to mind just recently.
Yeah.
So we start every episode with the guest's burnout story, right? The story of how they burnt out, right? And that's useful because it helps people go relate to what they're feeling in that moment, right? They're just like, oh shit, that's me. I'm wondering if we want to also, or instead of, have people give their burnout recovery story. Because here's the thing, and somebody just responded to a post in the Facebook group this morning that's got me thinking. They were like, okay, yeah, but I'm burnt out and I don't understand concepts. I was trying to explain their question to them conceptually, and they were like, I can't do concepts right now. I just basically need a recipe. But we've talked about how recipes don't work for burnout because everybody has different needs, right? Like, that's why we're trying to teach concepts. Like, we're trying to teach you to fish instead of handing you a fish because that's what you need to recover from burnout. So what if we gave people more examples of burnout recovery processes, timelines, so that they started to understand?
I thought that's what we were doing in every episode.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we are. This just struck me as like, it would be something a little bit different. Like, here's a way, here are some options of ways out. I don't know, that aren't recipes. So I don't know. I'll let it percolate.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much the goal, is like, we tell the story of how they burnt out and then they talk about what they did to get out of it. But maybe it's not intentional or clear enough.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm going to percolate on it. I feel like there's something in there that is
different
than what's happening. But
and you have some interview episodes coming up, so you can do that.
Yes. Yes, I can.
See? So, Fried Fam, this episode is designed to help you notice a stumbling block so that you can remove it. Most of you will stumble over at least one or five of these blocks during your recovery. I stumbled over every single one during my own recovery. But the thing about stumbling over one of these blocks is that once you stumble over it, you've stumbled over it. You can say, oh my gosh, I don't need to do that again. And so sometimes I see people say in the Facebook group or during coaching, like, oh, it was like two steps forward and now I feel I'm back there again. No. You just stumbled over one of the blocks that was preventing you from really, truly healing. And now you can look at it for what it is and move on. So what I want you to do after this episode is I want you to go into the Facebook group if you are one of our Facebook group members. If not, you come join us. And I want you to let me know if one of these stumbling blocks is a thing that you think is in your way, and or if there is a stumbling block that you feel like you're facing that we didn't have on this list, so that we can talk about it some more. Sarah, you have any last words as we wrap up?
Yes. If you've made it this far in this podcast without getting so defensive and mad that you're turning it off, I just want to congratulate you, because stumbling over any of these roadblocks can, or recognizing yourself, or just being like, yes. And it sucks. And it's when you have your blinders on, you don't know the way out. So the other thing you could do is, if you are like, this is me and I don't know how to change this behavior, help. Ask that in the Facebook group so that we can get you some more specific recommendations for your specific situation, right? How this, one of these numbers, right? One of these things, stumbling blocks, how it's happening. Tell us how it's happening for you specifically in your life so that we can get you some help. That's basically what coaching is, right?
Basically.
It's like identifying for you your very specific way that these things are showing up for you in your life, helping you understand what's tangled up in it, bringing some awareness to it, and help you finding an exit path or like a way through it, a step out of it towards something different that works better for you. That's what we do. And we want you to have that. We want you to heal. So we want you to recognize these stumbling blocks and get whatever help you need to take the step away to a different way of being.
Amen. Right, fam? We love you.
We love you. Can you see my Zoom hearts? Can you feel them through the airwaves?
Mine don't work, but I feel them anyway.
Oh, no. Okay, good. Feel them. They're radiating towards you.
Right, fam? Until next time.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.